Is KAYT Gina Alexandria. This is gospel radio at its very best. 88.1 KAYT. Praising the Lord.
The Word with Greg Tehachapi, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I invite you to stay tuned as I share a powerful message from God's Word that will change your life. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And now, here's today's message.
Nothing is impossible when you get the glory of God on the scene. See, the Lord told Martha, remember when, even when Lazarus died, Martha said, Lord, if you had been here 4 days ago, my brother wouldn't die. And then Jesus said, your brother shall rise again. And then Martha said, I know that he'll rise again in the last day. And then Jesus said, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. He said, Lord, yes, I believe. And then if you keep reading in John chapter 11, you'll see that Jesus came to the tomb, and there he wept. Then Jesus, after he cried, he said, roll away the stone. Boy, I read that and I said, that sounds like the resurrection. That sounds like Jesus, don't it? That sounds like when they had a stone up over his tomb. And an angel come and roll the stone away. And when he said, roll back the stone, show me where you've laid him. Then Martha said, Lord, it's been 4 days. By now he's stinking. And then he said this. Didn't I tell you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? So you can see the glory of God when you believe. Some people say, show me the glory and I'll believe. I say, no, believe and he will show you. Believe and he'll show you. Didn't I tell you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? That's God manifesting who he is, his presence, his power, and his goodness. Hallelujah. And the good news that I have for you tonight is that you have been qualified for all three. You've been qualified to receive the goodness of God. You've been qualified to have his presence in your life 24/7. You've been qualified to have his power work in you and through you. I've had his power working in me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And I've had his power working through me too. Because he set me free from all kinds of stuff. You should never be ashamed to say what you've been set free from. Because you don't know how many people might be struggling what you've already been delivered from. But thank God, amen, that we all been set free in Christ Jesus. So I want everybody, I want this church, everybody in here, I want you to start praying and saying, God, show me your glory. And then don't let the devil disqualify you for it. He'll say, the Lord ain't going to help you. The Lord ain't going to use his power on your behalf. You too bad. You ain't going to see no goodness. Why God going to be good to you? Everybody, look at your neighbor. I've been qualified for the glory. Amen. That means you're qualified to receive something from God. You're qualified to receive your inheritance from God. You're qualified for it. And nobody can disqualify you. Because the only way you could be disqualified for it, Jesus would have had to snatch his blood away and undo what he did, but he ain't undoing it. He's not going to undo what he did. Let me tell you, I like to say it this way. Let me tell you, God won't change what he did. The devil can't change it. God said, I ain't changing, and the devil can't change it. Everybody say, I'm qualified. Glory to God. See, the devil's in the business of disqualifying people. I remember listening to Joseph Prince one morning. He's teaching on reasons why people don't get healed. And he said that the more he taught on it, the longer his list was getting. And he'd keep coming up with reasons why people not getting healed. He said, you know, he started out, he had 10 reasons why you won't get healed. And we know that there are roadblocks to healing. We're not minimizing that. But then he said, then I got on, he said, then my list went to 12. I found out two more reasons why people fail to receive. And he said, and one day while he was teaching on that, the Lord told him, said, stop disqualifying my people. We really need to just look at not all the things that's hindering us from receiving. We really just need to set our eyes on Jesus and look at what he provided and just go ahead and take it. And if you have a relationship and fellowship with the Lord, then you won't be involved in all these other things that disqualify you. If you'll just be a doer of the word. If you'll be a doer of the word, you're going to walk in love. Then unforgiveness can't stop you. If you ain't walking in unforgiveness, then it can't stop you. If you're walking in love, then I'm going to tell you the floodgates open. Really, everything really roll up into one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And Jesus modified the second one. He said, love one another as I loved you. That's to the church. He gave church a command. New one I'm giving to y'all. That's what he said. I'm going to give you a new command. You love everybody like I done loved you. So that's telling you right there that he's expecting his children to have an experience with him that the people really can't identify with. So we're to love one another like he loved us, because I know how he done loved me. Now I know how I'm supposed to love you. He's forgiven me all my sins. That's how he loved me. He didn't condemn me, so I know I ain't supposed to be walking around condemning other people. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Everybody say it again. Show me your glory. All right. Praise the Lord. Now, let's go to Colossians chapter 1. All you young people here, say it. Say, I'm qualified for the glory. Go each one. Say, God's qualified me. Say it. Okay. Because you know what? If you don't know God done qualified you, then you're going to disqualify yourself. How many people have disqualified themselves? Say, well, I ain't worthy. I messed up the other day. I didn't do right last week. I got these problems in my life. God can't help me. God ain't going to help me. I'm just unworthy. The devil put those thoughts in your mind, you end up condemning yourself. And you end up talking yourself out of God's blessing and talking yourself out of your inheritance. That's why you have to watch what you say. Now listen to this right here. Now all of this is real good, but I want to focus on verse number 12. giving thanks unto the Father who have made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Remember last week I talked to y'all about light? How many of y'all was here last week we're going to talk about light? Who wasn't here last week we're going to talk about light? There was a few of y'all wasn't here. I'm going to do a quick demonstration right now. Turn all the lights off in here. All right, now, how many of y'all got cell phones? Hold them up. All right, now, everybody's got a cell phone, has some light. Now, think about this. As a believer, just imagine that each one of these cell phones here, where the light coming from a cell phone, represents a believer. You see that? Now, you see, believers have been planted in this world of darkness. If I want to be able to read or see clear, what do I need to do? I got to come to somebody that's got the light, right? Because why? I'll be able to what? I'll be able to see better. I'll be able to determine where I'm going a lot better. So sometimes teenagers, when you're in the world, when you're out there in your own, at school, sometimes you're in a dark place. That means that you're around other teenagers who don't have the light. And you're the light, but you might be the only one on your row. See, I don't see but one light on this row. You might be in a class, you're the only light there. What you supposed to do? You ain't supposed to turn your cell phone off, because then you're going to do what? You're going to be dark like the rest of them. Right? So if you're there, you're the only one there, you need to say, Lord, let me shine brighter. Right? You shouldn't be ashamed that you got the light, right? Because you can see better than everybody else. But if everybody on this row start talking about you, what you doing with that cell phone on? Turn that thing off. You're putting too much light out. And they make you feel guilty because you got the light and they don't. And you start feeling condemned and unworthy to have it and turn it off like you did. Then you're going to be just like the rest of them, walking in darkness. So what you supposed to do? Keep your light on. Make it brighter. Make it brighter. But your light is big because it's Christ. And so what you need to do is start winning those other friends that you got, or at least be in the light and not being ashamed of it. Because God has qualified you to be blessed. Hallelujah. Giving thanks unto the Father who have made us meet. That word meet means that he has made us fit. He has qualified us. Or that he has made us ready. Now, if God did that, who gonna undo it? It's just like this here. You can be qualified for a lot of stuff that you don't even participate in. Because if you don't know you've been qualified, then there's no way you're gonna step up to the plate and begin to access what you've been qualified for. So that's why we come to church. I'm finding out what I'm qualified for. I'm finding out what my inheritance is so that I can start receiving. And the more I receive from God, the more that I receive of what Christ did for me, then the light, the brighter my light gets on the inside. The scripture says, let your light so shine before men. See, before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So we really need to be thinking about what can I do to glorify my Father. Well, the first thing you do is just start receiving from him what he's already given to you. I can't properly glorify him unless I start receiving from him. Because what I receive from him is going to change my life. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Have made us ready to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints who live in the light. In other words, we've been qualified to receive everything that Jesus died to give.
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
You You've been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you received the Word of God that will change your life and make you stronger. This message is available for a gift of $8 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship services. We're located at 4701 Lee Street, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
Of the old, the best of the new, the best variety in music,
great variety of music,
tons of music.
Online anytime, 24/7 at www.kaytfm.com.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today. Or
just a little while this morning, my message is in the form of a question. And the question is, what are you thinking about? Paul challenges the Philippian church and believers at large to control their thinking. The mind is a powerful instrument. It is where battles are fought, won, and or lost. It is where dreams and the blueprints to those dreams are put together. It is where people are made whole or broken and torn apart, even as it relates themselves. The mind is so powerful that if the enemy can get control of your mind, then he's got control of your soul. He's got control of your money. He's got control of your choices. He has control of your actions, etc., etc., etc. That's why the mind is so important to guard, to make sure that you keep it properly tuned by making sure you put the right thing in so you can get the right thing out. The mind is important for you to know that it absorbs like a sponge everything that it's exposed to. You have got to control what your mind is allowed to think on, to meditate on, to concentrate on, to be able to saturate it with other thoughts that build it up, tear it down, or enhance it, or encourage thoughts that discourage it. You have to control it. Now, you don't have control over every thought that pops in your head, but you do have control on whether or not you think on it, whether or not you develop it, whether or not you keep it there in the forefront of your mind, whether you receive it or rebuke it. Because you've got to know that the enemy knows how to introduce thoughts that are ungodly, that are unrighteous. They don't come for you all the time. But the fact that you are in a world where influences are all around you, both in the conscious and in the subconscious. There are things that are placed that great persons of great mind, study, and control know how to throw out things. There are those who prepare commercials for us to see. And inside some of those commercials are secret coding and messages that the conscious mind might not pick up. But though the conscious mind may not pick it up, doesn't mean that the subconscious mind does not pick it up. And then there are things that are taught, and then there are things that are caught. And sometimes the mind seems to focus on the minor parts of a thing rather than the major parts of a thing. And so it's important for you to understand that you have got to exercise mind control. Tell your neighbor, exercise mind control. Don't let your mind run away with you. Because if your mind run away with you, you're going to run away after you, after yourself and not know where you're going. Listen at this. When Paul tells them, finally, brethren, let's be clear with whom he's speaking. He's talking to believers. He's talking to the brothers and sisters of the faith. He's not talking to the folk in the world, but he's talking about those who are faith-filled people of God to help them understand they have got to put control limits on their thinking. So he gives them a few helpful and holy hints. He says, whatsoever things are true. He begins off with this word true. Because one of the things a whole lot of us spend a lot of time doing is thinking on things that are untrue. Meaning that they are unfounded, that they are not. The truth that Paul was really talking about in this word true, really, if you search it and understand it, it literally means to keep your mind on the Word of God, on those things that are worth being thought about, those things that are worth being meditated on, those things that have more to do with the truth that lasts throughout all generations and not just true for the moment or true for the time or true for a certain person or people, but what is true through and through. Think on what's true, because what he's literally doing is setting up building blocks for your mind to begin using these principles as filters so that every thought that you have would be filtered through these words or these things for the best and the benefit of those things that will help bring out the best end in those things. You see, if you've ever been riding or you've been talking, you've ever been looking, sitting down, and somebody come and you say, what are you thinking about? And inevitably, when you don't want to tell them, you say, oh, nothing. Or the thought is not fully developed and you don't want to share it yet. You just, well, just several things, you know, I'm just, no one particular thing, just thinking. Now, we have those moments too, but in those moments again, we still need to make sure that what we're thinking about ends up being positive. Because you can be thinking, and I know you've heard the saying, isn't the way you feel funny how it shows up on your face? You can be thinking about something and all of a sudden frown come up your face. Now, folks, they hear your thoughts. They can't see your thoughts. They don't know your thoughts, but they see them frowns. Ooh, you all right? Man, you don't realize how powerful your processes are. You can think about a thing and get hallelujah happy. Am I talking to anybody in the house? You can think a thing through, man, from concept to creation, and you just get filled with joy and excitement. And then you can think about some hellacious stuff that make you so fiery mad. The first time they ask, said, what? Oh, I'm sorry. I was just thinking myself, man, I just, oh, Lord. Oh, God, Jesus. Because your thought patterns and processes can take you through the process and you ain't ever went nowhere. You could sit down and think yourself through a situation that could end up. How many times have you used your mind to think you out of a blessing? You've used your own mind, let your own mind run random in thoughts and things that God allowed to happen to bless you. You let your mind make you think the opposite of it, and that blessing wind up becoming a cursing to you because you let your mind go free. Here's what you need to know. If it's God, the Bible says, and we know, that all things work together for how? For good. So when you look at what you're going through, and what you're going through might not be good, don't stop at what that is that's bad. You just say it's a part of the process. He's not through working on it or me yet. So when he gets through, I know it's going to turn out for my good, because I love him and I'm called according to his purpose. And that means he does allow bad things to happen to good people. So when bad things happen, I need to get my mind straight and realize it's only a test. And if I am true to the word, and I know God is true to his own word, because he's declared he is not a man that he should lie. And listen, because he does not lie, if he said it, he's got power to perform. Your problem is you try to put his power on the level with your power, and because you can't do it, you start thinking, well, maybe he can't do it. But he can do whatsoever he said he can do. And when you start putting your thought processes in affirmation of what he said, regardless of what it looks like, regardless of what it feels like, you begin to say, God, you said it. I believe it, and that settles it. I don't care what they say. I don't care how it feels. I don't care how it looks. I know it's going to happen because you said it. I believe it, and I know it's on its way. It doesn't even matter if the haters don't see it, if they don't believe it. I know it's going to happen, and I give you the praise, and I'm not waiting till it gets here to shout. I'm going to shout right now. Whatsoever things are honest. Do you realize how much time you spend in a day thinking about dishonest things? Things that are not honest?